All right, Revelation 22, 6 through 21. Jesus is coming. And he said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the word of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, 'You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God.' And he said to me, 'Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral and the murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and let the one who hears say, 'Come,' and let the one who is thirsty come, let the one who desires to take the water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book, and if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, 'Surely, I am coming soon.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen."
You know, I was telling Amy this morning, Amy is my wife, if you're a guest here today, that it's a little emotional for me, kind of coming to the end of this teaching, this book. Not that it's over, but just the teaching part. We've spent such a long time in it, and I've learned the Father has given me so many things that he's been teaching me. You've been coming to me saying, "Man, thank you. I've learned so much." And I'm going, "Man, I'm learning a lot. The Lord has been so good to us in this." And so with that, we're kind of closing out the series today. We're closing out the book, and we're talking about the last words of Jesus and how they have made or how they should make an imprint on our lives. And so if you've got your Bibles, open up to the last book of the Bible. Hopefully you're there. You found it. If you're not there, you're struggling. You're probably an Auburn or an Alabama fan. So somebody help them out a little bit. I can say that right now because I am I'm an A&M fan. I love A&M, and we are the Georgia State champions this year. The Alabama State champions this year. You can tell that from Alabama, we don't study geography. We don't do that. So if you've got your Bibles, look with me. We're going to go through, and I want to point out a couple of things to you real quick in this passage. This passage that we looked at, these are not going to be on the screen, so you need to be able to see them from this text. Look at verse 7. Anytime you see words in red in the scripture, anytime you see words in red, those are the words of Jesus. And notice what he says, "And behold, I am coming soon." Behold, I'm coming soon. Look at verse 12. Verse 12, he says, "Behold, I am coming soon." Look down again at verse 20. He says, "Surely, I am coming soon." Listen, three different times here, he's pointing out that he is coming again. That should be something that causes us to go, yes, even in the midst of the crazy of the world, even in the midst where over the last 2 years, we've been in the middle of a pandemic. We have seen crazy social unrest. We've seen all kinds. Maybe your world in the last 2 years has been flipped upside down. It could have been flipped up down relationally. It could have been flipped upside down economically. It could be, who knows? But in the midst of that, what we hear and what we hold on to is that Jesus is coming again. I don't know about you. Many times people think that because you're in ministry, you're a pastor, that they really don't know what we do all week. You must go sit in peace and just, listen, I have my job as a pastor deals with all kinds of different things that can bring stress. They bring, much like your job. Listen, do you ever get up and go to work on Monday and open your calendar and go, oh my goodness, there is more things to do than week to get it done? I mean, it's packed. There's all, and you're just waiting for the next holiday. You're waiting for the next vacation. You're looking for the next, maybe you're just waiting for Friday. Listen, when you know something good is coming, it helps you to get through the crazy. Well, listen, that's very much what we see here. Jesus is coming back, and this book that we're talking about, we're closing out right here, Revelation, was written to say, listen, in the midst of the crazy, in the midst of the crazy that's happening, seven churches, chapter 2 and chapter 3, in the midst of that, you can have hope. You can stand firm in the midst of that. Have you ever heard the saying that last words should be lasting words? Have you ever stood by the bedside of someone who was dying and you remember what their last words were? Those words made an impact in your life. Well, that's the same thing that we see today. These last words should make an impact. They should make an imprint. They should mark our lives as individual followers of Christ. As a follower of Jesus Christ, knowing that he is coming soon, he is coming back, that should change something in us. That should give us confidence in the day in which we live. That should mark us and impress us. But it also, as individual followers of Christ who have joined together as believers, as an organism, the church, that should mean something to us as a body of believers. That we can stand in the midst of the days in which we're in. There are three things that I want us to see. Because of what Jesus said, he's coming soon, there are three ways that we should be marked. Here's the first one, and we're going to talk through these. Number one, it should mark us with lives of worship. It should mark us with lives of worship. It should also mark us with lives of mission. And then number three, it should mark us with lives of submission. Lies of submission. Notice in this passage, verse six, John says, and he, the angel, it says, and he said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. We looked at this last week. We looked at this. Who is it that says these words are trustworthy and true? Well, the angel tells John because the angel got them from Jesus himself, from God. And so what we know, and I continually come back to you with this, is that his word, the word that we have from him, is trustworthy and true. It is what it says it is. It's who it says we are. We are. It calls us out in our sin, and then it tells us that if you have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, if he has arrested you and changed your heart, that you are now a follower of his. You are a child of his, and you have a new identity. And so we can believe that. Many of us do not live lives like we believe what the word says, but we can trust it. This word is true. I don't know what newscast you watch. We watch Leland Statham in the mornings on Channel 5. This isn't about Leland. This is not like weather forecasting. This isn't like a 40% chance, a 60% chance, an 80% chance. Jesus said three times, You're going to get tired of me saying this. Three times he said, I'm coming soon. Behold, I'm coming soon. Surely I am coming soon. This is a trustworthy statement. And so with that, that should mark you and me as followers of Jesus Christ and how we live. That should imprint our lives. It should imprint our lives. So let's look at the very first one, being marked by worship. Being marked by worship. I'm going to read verses 8 and 9 with me. You follow along. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, you must not do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. Notice what John's response here. John has seen so many different things throughout this book. Now, listen, it's taken us like 12 months to walk through, 12 months and some change, to be real honest with you, to walk through this book. I don't believe this vision took that long. So John has been seeing these visions. He has seen the throne room. He has seen Jesus. He has seen these angels. He's seen these seraphim. Now he gets to the end and he begins to realize, he hears, I am coming soon. And you know, did you see what his natural response was? Out of the overflow of the experience that he had, he fell to his knees and he dropped. He began to worship. I don't know about you, but I enjoy watching events on television. I like to watch the live events, even some of the ones that are like recorded and you see later. That's why people end up buying like huge televisions or these projection systems, so it can put you in the middle of it and you can be immersed. So whether it's a great football game, whether it's sitting at Tennessee, Alabama, whether it's watching, maybe you're a concert person and you, Garth Brooks is like your thing and you're watching it and you're going, man, this is incredible. Maybe you're watching Les Mis or something, but rather than seeing the video of Les Mis, you're on Broadway and you're sitting there watching it. There's nothing greater than sitting in the middle of something and you're experiencing it. You can sit at home and watch it on the television. You can sit at home and you can take it in. You can get the biggest television set you want to, but there's nothing like being there right in it when you see it. Whether it's a concert, whether it's a football game, the World Series. When something happens, even at home, what do? Something that you're not expecting. You jump up and you're screaming at the TV. All of that, I want you to hear, is just a foretaste. Even if you would have been sitting behind home plate at the Braves game and saw them win the series, all of that would have been a foretaste to seeing Jesus and experiencing that. See, this is what John did. John fell at his knees. Now, John made the mistake that many of us make. You realize all of us in here were created as worshipers, don't you? God placed in your heart a desire to worship. And what ends up happening is what ends up happening to John many times. We, as worshipers, we focus our direction of our worship on the wrong thing. John fell at the feet of the angel, the deliverer of the voice of God, the one who delivered the message of God, and he began to worship. And did you see what the angel said to him? Did you see what he said? Look at verse 9. Verse 9, the angel says to him this, but he said, you must not do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, who keep the words of this book. Worship God. He says, worship God. He says, whoa, 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 John, you stand up. Don't worship me. And what ends up happening for us oftentimes what happens to us is that we worship wrongly. And the reason that we worship wrongly is the direction of our worship is not focused on the Savior. I'm speaking specifically to followers of Jesus Christ in here, right now in this moment. Okay, if you're a follower of Christ, my question to you is this, is who are you worshiping? What are you worshiping? Are you worshiping rightly or wrongly? Is your worship directed at Christ himself? The one who said, listen, I'm coming again. Surely I'm coming. Behold, I am coming. Or is your worship focused at something else? Maybe you don't have a little wooden idol set up on your desk that you bow down to, but maybe you've got pictures all over your house and everything you do, what you think about is your children, your kids, your family, and that gets the focus of your attention. Maybe you've got you don't have a wooden idol set up of this, but maybe you got an app that you check every day Where's the stock market? What's it doing to my accounts, my retirement? Maybe you've got something penned up at your work or somewhere, and you're looking at it, you keep thinking, I want that house, I want that boat, I want that car. You see, we begin to worship all kinds of things, all kinds of people. Maybe it's your wife, maybe it's your husband, maybe it's your kids. Maybe it's this person here who has obtained it, and if I can just get near them, if I can be close to them, then they're going to drag me along with them. Maybe it's cash. Maybe it's retirement. Because if I have enough cash one day, maybe I can then retire in comfort. And today, the Spirit, my prayer has been for you as a follower of Jesus Christ, my prayer for you has been that you would wake up, that He would shake you, that He would say, listen, stand up, get off your knees, don't be worshiping there. It's Jesus Christ. He alone is coming again. He's coming for us as followers of Christ. Some of you in here today, though, you're not a follower of Jesus. You've never surrendered your life. He's not saved you. You've not responded to Him. And you're worshiping all kinds of things. You're worshiping all of the things I just described and a plethora of other things. You see, we're all created to worship. All of us have been created to worship. Oftentimes what we do is we associate worship with right here. We think that when Zion comes up and he says, okay, stand up, sit down, kneel down, raise your hands. Listen, you know what Zion is doing right there? Zion is inviting us. Won't you join us? Won't you stand? Won't you sing? Won't you pray with us? He's inviting you to engage with the one who gave his life to you, for you. He is inviting you to engage the one who has said, I'm coming again. Behold, I am coming again. Surely, I am coming again. You see, listen, our worship should be an overflow of the experience that we have with Jesus Christ. That's why we call you each and every morning. Get up. Get to him in his word. Hear him speak to you. Eat of his word, for it is so good. It is like honey. Listen to him. Talk with him. You see, it's not about obligation. It's not about checking a box. It's about an encounter with the living God of the universe, the one who saved you, the one who has said, he is coming again. He's coming again. Does that ring true with anybody in here? No, that was not a rhetorical question. He's coming for us. He has said, children, mine, I've laid my life for you. You should be marked. You can be marked for worship. Look at the second thing quickly. Not only are we marked by worship, but number two, we should be marked by mission. We should be marked by mission. Look at verses 10, 11, 12, and 13. I'm going to read those. And he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one of you, each one, for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Now, we talked through the first, the last, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end last week. And we talked about how Jesus is the first word of everything. He is the last word of everything. This scripture talks about a word called recompense. Recompense meaning it's the root is compensation. He is coming to repay all of us for what we have done, whether it is good, whether it is bad. It says that he is coming. And I need you to hear me. As a follower of Jesus Christ, as a follower of Jesus Christ, you know what? Your sins have been paid for. That's handled. That's in the past. It's over. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, the scripture tells us that you'll have a payment that has to be paid. You can either trust his payment on the cross for you and for me, surrender and submission, or you have to pay for your sins. That's why we ask you, we implore you, we plead, God, save people today. Call people to respond. Call people to respond. Notice in verse, in that passage, Daniel chapter 12, we're going to end this where we have always gone back to. In Daniel chapter 12, this is the picture that you see. Daniel chapter 12 in the Old Testament, Daniel is told, he's given a vision of the end time. And the angel tells him, seal up this book, the one that I'm giving you, this scroll, seal it up. Seal it up for the end time, for the end days. This message is for then. In Revelation chapter 6, what we see is a fulfillment of that where John and the angels, they're standing in heaven. They're seeing this. You need to remember the cry, who is worthy to open the scroll? Who is worthy to unseal it? And who unsealed it? Jesus Christ himself. Now, here what you see is the call to don't seal this one up. Why are we not to seal this one up? Why did John say don't seal it up? Because the time is now. The task is today. If he is coming, behold, I am coming. Surely I am coming. If he is coming and he's created us, he's marked us to worship, he's also marked us for mission. He's called us to share this with others. This is it. We're at the point where we now go and we share with those who do not know. We're to be about his mission. We're to be on mission with him. I remember being a small child, I was raised, and many of you know this. If you've known me, I was raised in a single parent home. All my life, I'm in a single parent home. My parents divorced when I was really young, but even though they divorced, even when my dad was living, I was still basically in a single parent home. Alcohol, drug abuse, all of those things. So when my mom, and I want to say thank you. Many of you met my mom last week, and I want to say thank you for meeting her. And she loved getting to meet you and to talk and those kinds of things. My mom would get up and leave the house every morning at 6:30. She was a hardworking lady. She's still a hardworking lady. She would tell us before we went to bed, my sister's a little younger than me, and she would say, here are the things you're supposed to do tomorrow. These are the chores. I would get up in the morning and there would be a list of chores again that she had already told us, but she wanted to make sure that we got the chores done. She had stuff that needed to happen, making sure. Well, you know what I would do? I got up and I was usually a late get up person. I would always try to find the Little Debbie box. I would grab a Star Crunch. I would be looking for like a Coke or something, Breakfast of Champions. I would kind of hang out a little bit, and then I would spend the rest of the morning playing Pong. Y'all remember Pong, don't you? Kids, ask your parents what Pong is. I'd sit there and play Pong. It's crazy. Played Pong. Then I'd get on my bike. I lived in a small town, and I would go ride my bike around town, go see friends, go see people, just riding around. You know what? Somewhere around 3:30, 3:45, everything changed. I'd get back on that bike. She's coming. She gets off at 4. She's usually home by about 4:15. I am killing it. I'm standing up. You think I was on a Peloton. I am moving. I've got to get home. Why? Because those chores have got to be done. That list, that mission that she gave me, I now had a whole brand new motivation. I had a desire. I've got to get this thing done. My tail's going to get wore down if I don't get this done. Folks, do you realize? Jesus told us in verse 12, behold, I'm coming. I'm coming. He's left us a mission. He's left us tasks. He's left us things that he calls us to do. Like go into all the world to preach the gospel, make disciples, baptizing them. He's called us to that. And most of you, myself included at times, we think the missional involvement begins with a passport stamp. I need you to hear, missional involvement, being on mission, doesn't begin with a passport stamp. It begins when you come to faith in Jesus Christ. And when you come to Jesus Christ, then you begin to engage the people who are closest to you. You don't have to go across the ocean, but you will have to walk across the street. You may have to look across the cube, the cubicle next to you, or zoom into somebody, since we don't do that kind of stuff anymore. Listen, we're called to be on mission. And if he is coming, behold, I'm coming. Surely I am coming. And if we believe that this is trustworthy and true, he said this and he is coming, then our lives should be marked by being a part of the mission that God has called us towards. Here's my question. Either we don't believe that this is true, that this book is true, or we don't believe many times that he really is coming back. The Apostle Peter said, listen, he is not slow as some people would count slowness. I need you to hear this. He is coming again. And if he's coming again, then that means that we got to be marked by living lives of worship. We've got to be marked by living lives that are on mission with him. Folks, I'm preaching a whole lot better than you guys are letting on up here. I just want to tell you that. There's something. Guys, he's coming. I truly believe that. I say this to you often. My prayer is that he comes before this time that I'm in is over. Not only is that, look at the last thing quickly is this, is that we've got to be marked by submission. Not just marked by worship, not just marked by mission, but marked by submission. Look at verse 14. Verse 14 says this, "Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates." You know, the city gates, if you're a citizen of the city, how do you enter? Through the gate. If you're not a citizen of the city, you're trying to dig your way in. You're trying to fight your way in. Do you remember what the gates are symbolic for? They're symbolic of security, of protection. And these gates are wide open, the gates of heaven. Who gets in? Those who have washed their robes white, the scripture says. Now, I want to spend a few moments here for just a few moments. I want to back into this. Listen, you're not going to be able to worship, be marked by a life of worship, or be marked by a life of mission if you're not truly submitted to him. If you don't know Jesus, then you're not going to be on mission and you're not going to be a worshiper. So I want to spend a second here because truly this is the most important part. Not that the other parts aren't important. They were extremely important. But I just need you to know that if you don't know Christ, this is the most important part of this passage, of this message. I want you to know that if you say that you know Jesus Christ, you have a life that has been submitted and surrendered to him, but you're not living on mission and you're not marked by a life of worship, then we've got to go back and look at submission again and the relationship here. Something is wrong with that. You know, when Christ comes to us, I'm a word guy. I wish I was a better word guy. But I like words. Words, not just phrases, but I like words, okay? You remember when I tell you in the scripture, when we're studying, when you see a word that's repeated, you circle it because it's there for a reason. Well, we've seen a phrase now, an entire phrase three times, and we're looking and diving into this. So when I talk about submission, I want to back up with another word called surrender. The word surrender gives the connotation of being overpowered and you, I give up, I'm yours. Surrender is what we do, what happens when Jesus Christ opens our eyes and we are saved by grace through faith, not a work of our own. It is a gift. We can't boast for it. He has saved us. He opened my eyes. He overpowered, and I surrender. Jesus, I'm yours. I receive your gift of salvation. Submission, I believe, is like an act of the will. Yes, there is a day when I submitted to Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I was around 13 years old. But I also want you to hear me. We don't just submit once. We submit every morning. It's not just coming to Jesus once. It's coming to him every day. Not because we get saved again. It's because I'm coming to the King now. I'm coming to my King who has changed me. He arrested my heart. I surrendered to him. And now I'm coming back to him each morning and I am bowing the knee to him in submission to him. And the question is today, is that something that your life does? Is that something that your life emulates? Is that something that you do personally? Where you have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, you submitted to him as Savior, but maybe some of you have gotten up, and that flag that you once waved in surrender, you've lowered it, and you're going about your own. In fact, you raised your flag up on the pole again. Folks, I need you to know, if Jesus Christ has changed your life, then we are called each and every day to get up, to surrender, to submit to him. I'm going to say something that is maybe, we all know that we need to be in the Word. And I'm always really loose-handed a little bit to say, hey, if you're not a morning person, lunch, dinner, something along those lines. But here, I'm just going to tell you this. If Jesus Christ, the King of the world, I follow him, he needs to get the first part of my day. He's the most important thing of my life. He should be the most important thing in our lives. We should get up and hear, what does the King want me to do today? We come to him and we bow down, we submit to his will, and then we stand up and we walk in his mission. Do you realize that surrender and submission is an act of worship? It's an act of dependence. And then we stand and you know what we go implement? Not my will, but his will. Most of the time, we get up in the morning and we say, Lord, my will be done on earth today. I'm probably talking about me. I struggle with that sometimes. When he calls us to spend the greatest portion of our morning with him, the first fruit of the morning, and then get up and we walk in obedience. Why? Not because of obligation, not because we can check a box, but because we're encountering Jesus Christ, the one who has said, I'm coming again. Behold, I am coming again. Surely I'm coming again. And so we get up, and out of the overflow of the encounter that we've had with him in his word, the act of worship, we go live on mission with him. Our lives are marked by worship, by mission, by surrender. I want you to look with me. If you've got it, you can put it on the screen. If you don't, I want you to have your Bibles and see it. Verse 18 and 19. I want to read these because I want to spend just a second here. Notice he says, I warn everyone. I believe this is John that is speaking here. He says, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. The prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away the words of the book of this prophecy, the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share of the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. I think there's a word that was repeated several times. Did you catch it? The book. The book. The most, in this context, what he's talking about here is the book of Revelation. This book, the book of Revelation. Okay, I don't know that John necessarily knew that this was going to be Holy Scripture. I do know that he knew that this was going to the seven churches and it would be read. I don't believe, I personally, that he knew that this was going to be in a book one day called the Bible that would go down. I don't know that. I don't believe that he knew that. But here's what I know. You know why we have this? It's because he wrote down the words. He wrote down in a book and sent it around so that we have it, so that we can see it. Today, we are here today because of this book. We're here today because of this book. Look with me again at verse 7. Jesus said, I'm coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. He goes down in verse 10, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book. Verse 13, he's already said, I'm coming soon. And he says, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the first word and the last word. I am the beginning word. I am the end word. Jesus Christ, who is coming again, is the living word of God. You know why we don't live lives of submission? Which lead to lives of worship, which lead to lives on mission, is because we don't even read the book that he's called us to. Folks, as disciples, learners, those who know Jesus, who love him, the last portion of the Great Commission, he says, and to teach them to obey. Obey all that I have said and done and written. Disciples who know that Jesus is coming, behold, I am coming, surely I am coming, are people of his book who in community, they study it, they read it, they want to get with people to say, help me walk in this, help me walk with this, help me understand it, help hold me accountable so that I am living a life of submission, I'm living a life of worship, I'm living a life that's on mission. Folks, you're going to hear in the next several weeks, you're going to have opportunity. You have opportunity today, but next year, January, listen, we're pulling out all the stops and we're asking you to be involved in a discipling group. Not a community group, but a discipling group of some sort where you are in the Word of God. We're going to give you, I'm getting ahead of myself, but it excites me. We're going to give you a reading guide through the year for 1 year, and we're only going to spend in the New Testament. For those of you who have said, man, it's been four different places, it's been confusing, we're going to the New Testament. And we're going to walk men with men, women with women. And I'm asking you now, if we know, if we believe that he is trustworthy and true, if we have lived lives of surrender and submission to him, then we've been called to be people of the book. Not to take away, but to obey the book, to plant the book in our lives, to eat it. And when I say the book, the scripture. Jesus is teaching in the Gospels, and he's talking about following him. He's talking about the Lord's Supper and that only those who can eat my flesh and drink my blood. He's using symbolic language there. It says the disciples looked and thought, This is hard teaching. The scripture says that some of the disciples, you know, there was a group of 12, 3, 12, 72, 120, as you walk through, says that many of them quit following Jesus at that point. Jesus turned and he looked at, the scripture says he looked at the 12 and he says, what about you? Are you going to leave also? And Peter says to Jesus, he says, you're the Christ. You're the Messiah. You have the words of life. To who else are we going to go to? And oftentimes, We fall at our feet in worship. And we think they're going to give us words of life. And today I'm saying, stand up, get up. Don't worship there. Don't worship there. Worship Jesus. He's coming again. He's coming soon. We get on mission for what the little g God wants to do in our life. Stand up, turn your back on him, and follow the one who is coming again. Behold, he is coming again. We fall down and we worship these folks that they're going to lead you astray and eventually to hell itself. Lives of destruction. And today I call you, surely he is coming again. Today, what I want us to do is we're going to end a little differently today than we have ended recently in recent days. We're today to close out this book. We're going to read the scripture. We're going to read a responsive reading together. It's portions of scripture, but it's based on there. And we're going to read a responsive reading. And I'm going to ask if you would that you stand as we do this. I'm going to read the part of the leader. And your responsive piece is very simple. It is, come, Lord Jesus. I think it has an exclamation point. If it doesn't, I need you to read it like that. Because we want him to come. For the persecuted brothers and sisters today, come, Lord Jesus. For the political unrest today,
come, Lord Jesus.
For all the injustice in the world, for every prodigal child in the church,
come, Lord Jesus.
For the people plagued by disease and sickness,
come, Lord Jesus.
For every depressed and anxious heart,
come, Lord Jesus.
For every sinner,
come, Lord Jesus.
Deliver us from all evil.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Let every knee bow and every tongue confess, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Father, we love you. And we honor you and we magnify only you today. And Father, I'm asking that your Holy Spirit, that you would come in power and in might, that you would convict, that you would open eyes, that you would save men and women in here today. I'm asking that today you would speak to people who have been living their own lives, who say they follow you, but they're not living lives that are marked by worship and mission and submission. Father, I want to hear. Father, I'm asking that they might hear one day, well done, good and faithful servant. Father, I'm asking that you would do what only you can do today. I'm thankful that you've given us your word. Make us people of the word. Make us people who want to eat your word. People who, because we know you're coming, we can say, behold, Jesus is coming. Surely he is coming. I love you. I magnify you. And it's in the name of Jesus that I ask these things today. Amen. Today, the way that we respond is we're going to sing. We're going to open this altar or your chair and you get on your knees before him and you pray for those who don't know him. Ask the Lord, is there something in me that has led me astray? Is there something I've been bowing at the feet of rather than you? And ask him to draw you back. Zion, you come.